Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
I'm Julia Paskin. Join me as I talk with NPR's Sarah McCammon about her new book, The Ex-Evangelicals, Loving, Living, and Leaving the White Evangelical Church. That's April 25th at the Crawford. Tickets at las.com/events.
From the Moen Broadcast Center, this is Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Sharon McNary, filling in for Larry this week as he takes a well-deserved vacation. Larry's back next week. Right now, we're talking about the Salton Sea, California's largest and, I would argue, maybe most troubled lake. Water levels continue to drop, and that poses all kinds of problems for communities nearby and even the fish in the water. The California Natural Resources Agency is tasked with coming up with a plan to address this, and right now several proposals focusing on importing seawater. Joining me now to discuss the problems plaguing the Salton Sea and the proposals aimed at addressing those is Mark Olaldi. He's an environment reporter with ProPublica's Southwest office. He's been reporting on this. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with some background on some of the challenges. And I want to add that you wrote just a fantastic, comprehensive report on the problems with the Salton Sea in the Desert Sun.
It was in the Desert Sun and USA Today, where I was most recently working. And kind of our goal with this piece was to ground truth the question of whether or not these kind of pie in the sky ideas to save the Salton Sea with one massive multi-billion-dollar binational project were really feasible. So we were kind of trying to get to the bottom of whether that's real.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a daunting challenge. So give us some background on why the Salton Sea has so many problems. Why is the water level going down? How long has this been a concern? And the health problems.
Absolutely. And the Salton Sea is just an absolutely fascinating place, partly because there's so many misconceptions about it. Yes, it is in some ways an accidental lake. It was created after the Colorado River was accidentally diverted into the Salton Sink in 1905 by kind of an engineering disaster. But at the same time, this depression, which is a couple hundred feet below sea level, has been filling up and drying out and filling up again for thousands of years. And then we dammed up the entire Colorado, and we kind of need to sleep in the bed we made. And so in 2003, there was this huge water transfer agreement to sell water out of the Imperial Valley, the water that once flowed from farm fields into the Salton Sea, and send it out to the Coachella Valley, to the coast, to Los Angeles, and whatnot. And so this was kind of part of climate change hurting the Colorado River. This was part of Los Angeles and Southern California's kind of ever growth. And because that water that once flowed into the Salton Sea was no longer flowing at such a high level, the salt levels in the sea started increasing. The lake levels started dropping. More and more of this dust we call playa started becoming exposed to the windy kind of desert air. And nearby communities, many of which are full of kind of Latino farm workers who already have other health disparity and economic issues, suddenly were hit by this dust that was full of a century's worth of agricultural runoff with pesticides and fertilizers and other nasty stuff in it. So now the state has the responsibility to come up with a solution that's due by the end of 2022. And we're trying to figure out, can we have a massive project to knock out all these issues, refill the lake, clean the water, et cetera? Or is there a piecemeal approach that it's maybe a cheaper, more achievable answer?
And to highlight the urgency of this, describe the health problems that dust is creating.
Sure. And it's kind of just compounding a lot of other issues. You know, these agriculture heavy areas already have pesticide spray, and these desert areas already have dust blowing. And so there is already high levels of asthma. But we're seeing, you know, factors above kind of national or state averages of asthma and other respiratory issues in communities living around this lake. And in addition to the health disparities, we're also seeing this as a huge environmental catastrophe. California has lost nearly all of its wetlands over the past 100 years to development, agriculture, et cetera. And we're right smack dab in the middle of the Pacific Flyway, which is a huge migratory bird route from Alaska down to, down to South America. And so the Salton Sea was once vibrant fish habitat, which meant once vibrant bird habitat for migratory birds that fed on these fish. And now you can't survive in the lake. And so it's no longer that habitat. So it's got a component of human health. It's got a component of environmental and kind of wildlife health, all really wrapped up in one.
I visited the Salton Sea when I was a kid, so obviously quite a long time ago. And I remember seeing skeletons of fish along the shoreline. I mean, it did not smell nice. It was never a place I'd want to swim, and I imagine it's even worse today. So clearly it urgently needs to be fixed, and there's some 2022 deadline for this. Whose deadline is it, and how likely is it to be met?
Exactly. So the end of 2022 deadline is for the state to come up with a draft plan to kind of once and for all say, we're going to stop our looking over here and looking over there and proposing this idea and that idea. We're going to give our actual idea. If kind of we sign off on it, we're going to move forward with it. And that's going to be what we do. Because, frankly, for my readership in the Coachella Valley and the Imperial Valley, they're tired. They've been dealing with these issues for decades. This isn't new. The problems of the Salton Sea are, to show my age, as old as I am. And no one is really surprised in this area anymore by this. What surprises them is how many studies the state does, how much money the state puts into it. And to the state's credit, they are kind of turning over a new leaf during the Newsom administration and actually moving a bit more quickly on Salton Sea issues. But the water transfer deal that started all of this was in 2003. And so the 2022 deadline is really to light a fire and come up with one solution and start moving forward on that.
I mean, fish are cut bait, except you wouldn't want the fish in this lake. So there's 11 proposals on the table right now. Who's pushing those proposals forward? And are they all about importing seawater?
Exactly. So those 11 are specifically on seawater importation. A couple of years back, the California Natural Resources Agency put out a request for information saying, we know that this idea of piping in water or otherwise bringing in water to the sea and raising the level that way, we know that a lot of people want that. And so let's give it a fair shake. Let's study that. And then let's decide, is that the answer? Or should we stick with what we're already doing, which is a couple thousand acres of dust suppression here, a couple thousand acres of habitat construction here, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the path we're currently on. These 11 proposals I was digging into are kind of what's come to be known as C2C water importation. And the most likely route of C2C is going from the Sea of Cortez, Baja California, south of the border in Mexico, and then likely building a canal roughly 125 miles through the desert, through a dry lake bed called Laguna Salada, south of the border, and then west of the Imperial Valley through Bureau of Land Management land to dump water back into the Salton Sea, raise the level, and cover the playa. The problem, though, and the problems with this are myriad, is that you also need to deal with this huge salinity issue. The Salton Sea right now is about twice as salty as the ocean. And so that needs to be dealt with if you're going to make it habitat again.
Yeah, so adding seawater to saltwater sounds expensive to figure that out.
It is expensive. The thing though with these 11 projects is they range quite a bit. So the gentleman who I include a lot in this story, who's kind of one of the main voices, he's really put a lot of legwork, ton of time into this issues, into trying to make C2C both viable, economically speaking, as well as just politically speaking. He says he can do this for less than $1 billion. And this is a project that I argue would be the largest water infrastructure project in North America since the Hoover Dam. On the other end of the spectrum, we've got projects $5, 6, 7 billion plus tens of millions of dollars of operation and maintenance every year. But that would come with a lot of other stuff. It would come with entire fields of renewables attached to it to power pumps. It would come with massive mangrove habitats to filter water and kind of clean up the Salton Sea that way. So these gentlemen behind these ideas, they're engineers, they're architects, they're big thinkers. But however you slice it, this is going to cost probably $1 billion into several billion dollars.
Yeah, you know, we're Americans. We love our boondoggles. bigger, more expensive. We're talking about the Salton Sea and the various proposals to import seawater to address water level concerns there. I'm talking with environment reporter Mark Walalde. If you have questions about the proposals or what's happening with this body of water, give us a call, 866-893-5722. You can also tweet at AirTalk or comment on our Facebook page. Also joining me is Michael Cohen, senior researcher at the Pacific Institute, which is a think tank based in Oakland that focuses on water conservation issues. We also have Timothy Bradley, Professor Emeritus of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at UC Irvine. He's been working on issues related to the Salton Sea and other salt lakes for decades. Michael and Timothy, thank you for being on Air Talk. Let's start with Professor Bradley. What do you see as the pros and cons of this sea-to-sea proposals that would import water from the Sea of Cortez?
Well, the positive side is that if you could raise the lake level up again and cover the playa, which are dry beaches which have been left behind as the sea shrinks, if you could cover those playa, then you would reduce the emission of toxic dust, which currently is blowing in both the Imperial and the Coachella Valleys and is endangering the health of the people there. So that's the positive side. The negative, and as was pointed out, there are a lot of negatives, but one of the negatives is that you have fresh water flowing into the sea, and as it evaporates, the sea is becoming more salty anyway, as salts are brought in by fresh water. If you brought in seawater, you would increase the salinity very rapidly. And it would be equivalent to the Dead Sea. That is to say, there'd be no fish, no invertebrates in the sea in the matter of years. So it would mean the ecological death of the sea. But the advantage is that you would start to address the public health problems, which so far the state has really not addressed adequately.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's hear from Michael Cohen of the Pacific Institute. Do you see pros and cons in this sea-to-sea plan?
So there's, I think the pro is that it's conceptually easy. People can think, because the Salton Sea is below sea level, just take water via gravity from the ocean, which isn't that far away, and fill the sea back to its former elevation. So conceptually, it's an easy concept to grasp. And I think that's why this idea continues for years and years and years. But there's a host of challenges. I think Mark did a good job in his article of pointing out many of them, and one of them he identified as time. So the San Diego County Water Authority is proposing a pipeline also to bring water in from Imperial Valley directly over the mountains to San Diego. And their timeline for that project is about 25 years. So that project would not cross an international boundary. So you don't need to get purchase land or easements in Mexico. You don't need to deal with an international agency. You don't need to deal with the State Department. But it still takes 25 years, based on their estimates, to build that project. So to my mind, that's the single greatest obstacle for these sea-to-sea schemes, is that it's a generation away before it actually yields results. And we simply don't have that kind of time at the Salton Sea.
Well, is there a quicker way to reduce the problem of the dust and reduce the problem of the lowering water level?
Yes. So the state of California has spent many years trying to get its act together. But this year, finally, it's starting construction on the first habitat project at the Salton Sea. It's a 4,000-plus acre habitat project at the lower end of the sea. And the good news is that the voters of California approved bond monies to fund that. The governor is currently funding it, or talking about additional $220 million to salt and sea projects, and it looks like there may be some additional monies coming from the federal government as well. So the combination of these smaller scale habitat cells combined with ongoing dust suppression efforts. So Imperial Irrigation District, which delivers water down there, has already constructed more than 2,000 acres of these dust suppression projects. State of California has constructed about 750 acres of these projects. So that's essentially the pathway. It's a series of feasible small-scale projects that can be built over time. And the good news is that at the Salton Sea is, even though there's going to be much less water flowing into the Salton Sea in the future, there's still a tremendous amount of water will continue to flow there, more than the county of San Diego uses as a whole every year. So the solution, to my mind, really is to optimize the use of that water. If you capture it, you spread it out in these habitat cells, build dust suppression projects, then we can create really good ecological function down there, good habitat for birds, some recreational amenities, and even some economic development for the people down there, and suppress dust. So the challenge with that approach is that it's not very sexy. It's not the heyday of the Salton Sea, as some people remember it. But to my mind, it's practical, it's feasible, and it's something we can start doing and are doing right now.
That does sound a little bit similar to what the city of LA has had to do up at Mono Lake to reduce the dust blowing around after it took the water out of there. Am I close?
Well, Owens Lake, certainly. So it's in some ways similar to what they're doing at Owens Lake, which is now covering some of that very dusty playa with some water methods and some dust suppression. So it's expanding on that a little bit. There's a variety of other habitat projects around the state of California. If you look at South San Diego Bay or South San Francisco Bay, you can see salt ponds. So the idea is somewhat similar there, in that you create these little shallow berms, put water in them. And as we saw with a couple of federal projects 10, 15 years ago now, birds very quickly come and colonize those in very, very large numbers.
I'm talking with Michael Cohen of the Pacific Institute and Timothy Bradley, Professor Emeritus at UCI, about proposals to address challenges with the Salton Sea. Also with us is environment reporter Mark Olaldi. More to come. I'm Sharon McNary in for Larry Mantle. We'll be back after this quick break. Welcome back to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Sharon McNary, sitting in for Larry Mantle. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking about the different challenges plaguing the Salton Sea, which is located in Riverside and Imperial counties. The California Natural Resources Agency is supposed to come up with a long-term plan to address concerns of the lake level falling and dust blowing in the air. One idea being considered is to import seawater to replenish the Salton Sea. Mark Olaldi, a ProPublica environmental reporter, has been helping us break down some of the proposals. Mark, I got a question from John from Palm Springs, and he says, I'm genuinely curious, why is the Salton Sea so important? Why can't it just evaporate off? Could you just irrigate it and use it for agricultural purposes? And then somebody else is asking, well, isn't this, Teresa from Laguna Hills wants to know, is lithium supposed to be harvested at some point for lithium batteries from the Salton Sea? So a lot of curiosity from the public. What's your take on these questions?
Yeah, and those are great questions, and that's a common theme we hear in the reporting around the Salton Sea, is this, you know, come on guys, let's stop wasting money, let's let this dry and use our resources in other ways. Well, as Michael pointed out, you know, there's still a lot of water coming in, and so if we do nothing, that doesn't mean the Salton Sea dries up. That means it becomes very small, and there's a huge playa with full of that toxic dust that Dr. Bradley talked about. So then what do we do with, you know, the hundreds of thousands of people that live in the Coachella and Imperial Valleys and still have to breathe this? Plus, you know, I would make the argument that this was designated as an agricultural sump, I want to say about a century ago, by the federal government, meaning the federal government said, all right, let the irrigation water go into this. We know whatever, you know, it's got stuff in it that it maybe isn't great for you, but like, let's let that happen. Let's let the Salton Sea be that sump. So the government, you know, the government 100 years ago kind of made this our problem. So I would argue that letting these communities, like I said, many of which are Latino, lower income, farm working communities, I would say that letting them suffer based on decisions that the government made years ago is probably not the humane and correct thing to do. As far as lithium, there's a blue ribbon commission that's been championed by Assemblymember Eddie Garcia out of Coachella to study the idea of lithium, geothermal, things like that coming from the south end of the Salton Sea. The Earth's crust is pretty thin down the south end of the Salton Sea, so we know there's a lot of potential for geothermal energy that's been tied to lithium production, which is going to be vital, absolutely vital in batteries if we're going to have a clean energy revolution. I will say for some of the groups that are proposing these 11 kind of really big C2C ideas, they've fully taken those ideas of lithium production and other renewables that can be tied to their projects, and they're really trying to tie them in, partly in an effort to be green and partly in an effort to make this economically feasible because of that multi-billion dollar likely price tag. So
that is an exciting possibility for sure. Let's go to Michael Cohen of the Pacific Institute in Oakland. They focus on issues in water conservation. Also, Timothy Bradley, professor of emeritus of ecology and evolutionary biology at UC Irvine. Michael, we were talking earlier about timing and resources. What is the danger in waiting years to fix the Salton Sea?
So we're seeing a lot of those dangers realized already. As was pointed out, the salinity of the Salton Sea now is about double ocean water salinity. So when the water transfer agreement was signed back in 2003, the idea was that in the next 15 years, the state of California would jump in, preserve salinity, and start building these habitat and dust suppression projects before the lake became too salty for fish. Essentially, that window is almost completely closed. There's still a few fish left in the Salton Sea. But most of the birds that were eating those fish, the pelicans and cormorants and others, have moved on. One of the challenges there is there's not that many other places for these birds to go because California's dried up so many of its wetlands. And the other really pressing problem is public health. So as Dr. Bradley mentioned, there's some 20,000 acres plus of playa, this lake bed that's been exposed. So recent reports suggested that there's more than 400 tons of dust were released per year into those communities that already suffer from disproportionately high rates of asthma, elderly or hospitalized. So it's a public health and ecological health concern.
And Professor Bradley, looking at the economics and the economic possibilities that might come with fixing the lake, what's in this? Some of these plans for Mexico and the Mexican economy?
Well, the idea was that the United States might be paying for some of that water, and also that it would also restore some of the communities in Mexico where water is flowing through. But it is also opposed by some communities in Mexico as well. And there's also the problem that taking water out of the Sea of Cortez damages the marine resources there in the same way that a desalination plant does. You're sucking up seawater and damaging the ecosystem there. So there's some real challenges from that point of view. I just wanted to return to one of the issues, what you were talking about, Mono Lake and Owens Lake, and the restoration efforts that have gone on there. Mm-hmm. The city of Los Angeles has spent $2.2 billion at Owens Lake on dust suppression. So we should just be aware of the fact that even if these smaller and scalable dust suppression activities go on, we're still talking billions and billions of dollars that the state is going to have to invest in an ongoing and constant attempt to keep the dust down.
Well, it's certainly a thorny problem with a lot of potential solutions, but also a lot of potential expensive pitfalls. I want to thank my guests for joining me today. Mark Olalde is an environment reporter for ProPublica's Southwest office. You can read his extensive reporting on this topic in the Desert Sun. Also, my thanks to Michael Cohen, Pacific Institute researcher, and Timothy Bradley, professor emeritus of ecology and evolutionary biology at UC Irvine. When we come back, we'll talk about some of LA's most significant LGBTQ landmarks, and we want to know what your favorite one is. Go ahead, give us a call at 866 800-893-5722. We're taking your calls now.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.